Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red lights at the round table, three dots where we're able. We do routine to call the scene, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Red lights at the round table, our shows are more mid table. So many times we give and rhyme, but are quite something able. We're off so mad in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. and the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. The time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, children, what's that sound?
In constant sorrow all through his days, I am a man.
No pleasure here on earth I find. For in this world I'm bound to ramble. I have no friends to help me now. He has no friends to help him now. Perhaps I'll die upon this train.
Perhaps he'll die upon this train.
You can bury me in some deep valley. For many years where I may lay. Sleeping in my grave,
while he is sleeping in his grave.
Maybe your friends think I'm just a stranger. My face you never will see no
song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Ain't got no place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. Don't worry, be happy. The landlord say your rent is late. He may have to litigate. Don't worry, be happy.
Look at me, I'm happy. Don't worry, be happy. Can I give you my phone number? When you worry, call me. I need you happy.
Don't worry, be happy. Ain't got no cash, ain't got no style, ain't got no gal to make you smile. But don't worry, be happy. Cause when you worry, your face will frown, and that will bring everybody down. So don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't do it. Be happy.
Put a smile on your face. Don't bring everybody down like this.
Don't worry. It will soon pass, whatever it is. Don't worry.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazoozradio.com. You got to find a faster and easier way to say www. Just drives me nutty. Anyway, www.shazoozradio.com/superchat.html. And if you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html. I think I just said that. Anyway, that last song you heard there, that was for Stephen Gibbons out there. Don't worry, be happy. It's a good message in that song. Kind of warms you up, too. You know, life is a never-ending balancing act of trying to get through all the just the normal aggravations in general, trying to survive and fix your families and keep everything together and pay attention to what's going on around you. But sometimes, like Jermaine mentioned and Stephen and there in the chat room, sometimes, you know, you just get to the point where this negativity out there is just so overwhelming. You know, if you decide you want to wrestle the beast, then there's a good possibility you're liable to get bit. You know, we go down the rabbit hole of the Matrix and you try to sort through what's truth and what's not out there. You can get lost in the Matrix. That rabbit hole goes deep. Out here on the internet, there's so many different branches of that rabbit hole. So many different versions of the truth. And for the most part, the very, very first question we always ask the day, you know, we get old enough to start thinking for ourselves is, where did I come from? Why am I here? What's the point? You know? And you spend your entire life trying to figure that out, trying to find your purpose, and trying to find, your little piece of the pie, so to speak. You know, you want to make that dream happen. You want to have a wonderful life. And here on the Knights of the Round Table, we kind of want everybody out there to have a piece of that pie, a wonderful life. I've watched a lot of things in mainstream media, and I've watched a lot of things in alternative media, and as I look out there in the world and I see all the frustrations going on, I'm thinking, man, what a mess. And sometimes I get passionate and I get a little loud and sometimes I get a little crazy, but it all basically stems from, you know, the heart, where I want the world out there to do good. I don't want to see people in the world starving to death or suffering of any form or fashion. And just about everybody and his brother is sick of hearing about war and death and destruction. We got such an amazing planet here. Amazing world that we live in, that if utilized properly and working in harmony with nature and one another, there's so much that we could accomplish if we really wanted to and we set our minds to it. You know, people set their minds to going out protesting and rioting and looting and pillaging. They're focused in on that job. They do a pretty good job of it. I sat there and watched a video this morning about a protest over in San Diego, California about illegal aliens in the United States. And it's not that... It's not that we are a nation of immigrants and that we don't want people from other nations coming here to the United States. It's just that, you know, in any country, you gotta have a set rules if you want to live in a peaceful society. And everybody needs to follow those rules in order to make sure everything's fair and balanced across everything. That would be wonderful if everybody was born or raised with, you know, polite manners and treated everybody with respect and dignity and, you know, you never was taught about differences between people. You know, to the extent that my race, your religion, or whatever. But unfortunately, we don't live in a perfect society such as that yet. I still think it's possible that someday we could all become enlightened and start raising our families to love one another and take care of, you know, everybody out there. I was driving down the road the other day and I saw this man standing there with a homeless sign, and I was on my way to the VA office, and as I drove by, I didn't have time to stop because I had a certain time I had to be there at the VA, and so I waved at him on the way by. He waved back, and then after my appointment on the way back through, I saw him again. Same spot, same man. And so I said a little prayer to my God. I said, "Lord, please send that man a blessing." And I was really fixing to drive right on by. And I actually kind of did drive right on by. But wherever it came from, somewhere before I got not more than a quarter mile away, I keep hearing the sound in my heart or my head that said that you are the blessing. And so I did a U-turn in the street and turned around, went back there, and I gave him my last $10 bill. But before I gave him that $10 bill, I said, "Lord, I'm fixing to give this man my $10 bill. Please make sure I make it home, because that was supposed to be my gas money." And so I took it on down there. I gave him the $10 bill and turned around and went on down the road and called my mom up. And I said, "Mom, I'm heading on over I'm in the neighborhood. Where you at?" And she said, "Well, I'm out shopping." I said, she's heading over to my aunt's house and wanted me to join her over there. And so I got directions over there and finally ended up making it there. Well, I sat down and I told this story to my aunts. I had a couple of my aunts that were there, and one of my uncles and my mom. And I told them this story about how I drove past a homeless man the first time. And then I turned around and drove past him the second time. And then it was laid on my heart that I was the blessing. The blessing that I was praying to my God for to, you know, help this man out. And in an instant, one of my aunts handed me a $20 bill. And, of course, I told her, I said, "Look, I didn't tell you that story because I wanted you to give me money. I just told you that because I wanted to share it with you." Of course, then all my mom and all my aunts piped up and they said, "Don't turn it down, it's a blessing." And so I reluctantly accepted the $20 bill. Keep in mind, I started off my day with a $10 bill. And so anyway, the day progressed on, and my uncle had a little bit of a job that he needed some help with out there. And we went up to the auto parts store and got some things and did some work to the vehicle and got all that accomplished. And next thing I know, my uncle comes over and hands me another $20 bill. Of course, now I'm trying to say, "No, my aunt already gave me a $20 bill. I don't need this." And once again, he said, It's a blessing. You can't turn down a blessing. And so, once again, I reluctantly accepted the $20 bill. So, keep in mind, I started my day off with a $10 bill. That was my fuel money. And I ended up with a $40 after it was all said and done during that day. Which, on the way home, I did a little bit of shopping, and then I got home and I told my wife the story, and I gave her the remaining amount of the money, which just so happened to be enough to cover what she needed. So, I not only got fuel in my car, but I got a little piece of equipment that I needed for one of my projects. And my wife got some extra money that she needed because she gave me her last $10 bill in order for I could have gas to go to my appointment. So ironically enough, somewhere in my change, I ended up with a coin that was 1965. That's my birth date. I was born in 1965. And it just kind of struck me odd that for some reason or another, maybe there was a reason why I was even born to begin with. Maybe I had a message that I had to take out there into the world, or maybe I had something I had to accomplish out into the world. Nonetheless, I found out throughout my entire life that you treat people good, you do things without any want of return, and some strange force always seems to make sure that you got everything you need provided for you. It's not always a glamorous life. I mean, it's not like I'm living in a castle with gold and silver and jewelry and all that kind of stuff, all the fancy stuff that the kings and queens and diplomats of the world enjoy, or the billionaires. But I can't remember a time in my life, except when I was young, and even then, I always had food, it just never was the greatest of food. I always had clothes, it just never was the greatest of clothes. And so, I grew up in life respecting everything. I grew up in life appreciating everything. And when I did get something nice, I always took care of it because I felt blessed that I was actually able to have something wonderful. And to this very day, I still live with that same thing. I know that there's other people out there in the world struggling. And if I have something, I don't want to waste it. If I can't use it anymore and it's still worthy of somebody else being able to use it, I want to share it with whoever I can. You know, I grew up, I got two other brothers besides myself. Of course, I got some stepbrothers too as well, and half-brothers, half-sisters. We got a pretty large family, but the ones I actually grew up with in my house, I got a lot of hand-me-down clothes and stuff like that, and we kind of, clothes went from older brother to younger brother, in that order. But even during those times, I always was thankful for everything that I had. I was always blessed. Never looked at it as secondhand clothes or hand-me-downs. I always looked at it as a blessing. You know, when I think about that day driving past that homeless man the first time, I slightly justified because I was in a hurry. I had to get to my appointment and I needed to be on time. The second time around, I kind of tried to lay my burden off on somebody else, to pray to my God, please send that blessing to that man. And then I get less than a quarter mile down the road, and I'm hearing these words in my head and on my heart saying, you are the blessing. And I noticed somewhere in the chat room, Stephen Gibbs typed in the chat room about how the Knights of the Round Table is about solutions. And it is. That's the whole purpose of this deal. But even if you're not a member of the Knights of the Round Table, such as just, it's as simple as a Skype call to become a Knight of the Round Table. You got something on your heart to share with the world, and you want to join in on the chat and become an honorary Knight of the Round Table, then that's wonderful as well. As far as I'm concerned, some of our regulars in the Knights of the Round Table chat room have well exceeded being Knights of the Round Table. They should be the king, because some of them have some wisdom like you wouldn't believe. Some of them just don't like to talk on the radio, which is fine. But I drove past the man a second time and laid on my heart that I was the blessing, I was the solution. And I turned around, I listened to that little voice inside, and I took care of this man without any want of return. I didn't know his name. I didn't stick around long enough to accept any gratitude outside of him saying, God bless you, brother. And I told him, I said, just get yourself some food and take care of yourself, you know. It's all I had to give was $10. I didn't have any more. But just that little bit of hope in his hands, you know, that somebody else out there in the world without even knowing them or the circumstances just came by and did something kind. Now, there's a lot of people out there that'll say things like, you know, if you give a homeless person money, they're going to just go buy drugs or alcohol with it. And to them, I say, you know, it's not for me to judge whether or not I give them money and they're going to go buy alcohol or drugs with it. Maybe the alcohol or drugs are the only comforts they have in life. You know, if I could uplift them, if I could take every person that I find out there on the street home with me and take care of them, if I had the funds and the resources to do something such as that, I'd be surrounded by people that I went out and found on the street that needed help. You know, help them out in any way possible so that they can, you know, find their way in life and get things sorted out. So, if you go through life and you're a humble person and you treat everybody the way that you want to be treated, I think you're going to be fine out here. I think that not all of life has to be negative. I think that even in a world such as we find ourselves in, where we're being told that there's terrible atrocities going around the world, when you stand there and you have the opportunity and you say the prayers or you get the thoughts that you want somebody to give this person a blessing, you might just find out that you really seriously are the blessing. And it's not a bad thing. Heck, I didn't even think nothing about it after I did that, outside of hoping I'm making it all the way back to where I live, you know, because I just gave away my gas money for my car. But when I ended up going over to my aunt's and I shared that story with them, and it was laid on their heart to start giving me money, and I'm like, I didn't tell you this story to get money. But nonetheless, I ended up being blessed, not once, not twice, but three or four times in that one day, just for that one act of kindness. It doesn't always work out like that. Sometimes you may not get blessed. Sometimes you may not, you might be the nicest person in the world and do a lot of good deeds, and terrible things happen to you all the time. You're like, man, I'm always good to people. Why does all this keep happening to me? Well, I got this phrase, life is like wrestling a cactus. It's painful. It's not always pleasant. You know, we're on this roller coaster, this balancing act of trying to balance sanity with insanity and good with evil and all that kind of stuff, trying to just get by. Stephen typed in the chat room and says, we are all either the seeker of the source. If you want to experience being happy, be the source of happiness for others. If you want to experience being rich, give to those who have less than yourself, and you'll realize how rich you always were. If you want to be loved, love another. That's what I mean. That's the brilliance that I'm talking about. You know, in that statement right there, while I'm reading that statement, I'm thinking, by financial standards, I'm not even remotely rich. But by world standards, if you take into factor that there's 9 billion people on the planet and a small percentage of them actually really control all the wealth of the world, and then even a smaller percentage, or maybe a little bit larger percentage in the average Joe life, you know, at least here in the United States, and maybe in some other nations, Europe and Ireland and Canada and stuff, and Russia, China, the average Joe, we're not rich, but we by sure ain't the true definition of poor. And when I'm given to somebody less fortunate to me, they're looking up at me like I'm the rich billionaire that had some kindness for them, and I'm not. I'm just the average Joe who was fortunate enough to be born in the right place at the right time in the right circumstances, you know, and the education, and had all the luxuries of, you know, living in a free society. And so when I find people that's less fortunate than me, and I have the opportunity to help them out, I don't help them out for wanting to, you know, making myself look better or feel better. I just help them out because it's the right thing to do, because if I was in their circumstances, I would hope that somebody would love me enough to do the same. And they have. You know, I used to tell this story a long time ago about I used to have this little wooden fire truck. Of all the Christmas presents I ever received around Christmas time or holidays or whatever, the one toy that I remember the most in my head that I don't even know where it went to, it probably got passed on to somebody else who was in need of a toy. But there used to be this little wood shop. And this wood shop would sit around and they would make toys for other children for Christmas time, because they knew that there were poor families around that couldn't afford to go out and buy their children the fancy stuff, you know? Neat old stuff like you find at the toy store. And so I got this really neat looking little home-built, handcrafted wooden fire truck. And even as young as I was, and I knew that this had come from that toy shop, and I knew that somebody out there in this world cared enough to literally take their time to literally create this toy for me. You know, it could have been given to any other child out there, but it was given to me. I felt truly blessed. I've carried that little wooden fire truck in my heart all these years. And to some people, it might not seem like that big of a deal. But the circumstances that I was in as I was being raised up, you know, my mom was a single mother, and, you know, I had stepfathers down the line, but they never really were like an actual father would be. And so mom pretty much struggled, and she paid all the bills. She took care of the three boys and took care of all the bills. So she was doing all of it. She was being the mom, the dad, the worker, whatever. She did the cooking, and of course when we got older we all started helping out with chores and such, but nonetheless, for all the single moms out there in the world, you got to give them credit, because there's a lot to taking care of a family. So, positivity and blessings that you can give around to people out there in this world, they make a huge difference. I know they did in my life. Between the way that my mother raised me and between the generosity and the love that others shared for a child that wasn't theirs, I become the man that you're listening to right now. Yeah, I could have took a whole lot different path. I could have, blamed all my bad actions on everybody else's. There's extenuating circumstances. You were mean to me, so I'm being bad to the world kind of thing. But somehow or another, I was able to overcome and break those chains of despair, and no matter what, work my way through the bullies and the craziness of life and become the person that I am today, because I want the scales of justice to be balanced out for everybody in the world. When I look at this world, I see possibilities. I see beauty, I see hope, and I can see the dream. If you were going to spend your entire lifetime trying to find out who you are and where you came from and what your purpose was going to be, and then whenever you finally got to the right stage of thinking, you found out that it was all about living life and loving and learning and just trying to do the right thing. I think I pretty much learned that lesson in life. And I'm sure that there's a lot of people out there that's been down on much harder roads than I have that come out the other side, and they're probably so much more loving or whatever than I am. That's a hard thing to do, to come out of a war zone into I love the world, peace, love, and can't we all just get along? Some folks don't fare so well in that episode. Some folks fall by the wayside and through the cracks of society, and, it's a shame. Because when they were born into this world, they had hopes and dreams as well. Wish I had the power to reach out and make the world a better place overnight. I'd do it. I'd do it in a heartbeat. Unfortunately, I'm just like you. I'm just the average Joe. I'm not a god. I'm not a magician. I'm not even a king. I'm just King Shaziz the Terrible here on the Knights of the Round Table. It's a funny deal because we all sit at the round table together and we're all equal. That was the old purpose of the old Knights of the Round Table, is that everybody's equal. We bring our voices and our ideas and our hopes, and we talk about things that need solutions, and we figure out ways to fix this world a little bit at a time. And that's the best we can do. It's the best we got for the moment. And then when we do have the opportunity to be there at the right place, we don't drive past the homeless man the third time. We listen to that little voice inside. It tells us that you are the blessing. You are the solution. That's what it all boils down to. I watch all these protests out there about illegal aliens, like I mentioned earlier. And it's not that we don't want people to immigrate here. If I had a perfect solution for that episode, I would basically say, look, everybody's here now. The ones of you that are out hurting people, I'm sorry, but it's time for you to go. You straighten up your act and, get everything sorted out, come through the door the right way, and then we'll fix it. We'll live happily ever after. But those of you who want to love each other and take care of each other and make America great again, whatever fancy phrase you want to throw out there. Obama came on the scene with hope and change. Now it's make America great again. But really, whether it's America or whatever president in the is in the White House, or even in your parliaments or senates or whatever type of government you're running out there, the only way to make a nation great is to make your people great. When you start loving one another, when I look at the Native American communities, the actual reality of what they actually go through, and their heritage, and the way that the system is set up, they don't throw grandma and grandpa off into an old folks home. From the time you're born till the time you die, it's a family. And they take care of one another. So much could be learned from their heritage and from their ways of life. And every culture out there, if you look hard enough and you pay attention to their lives and their histories, you can learn something from it. You know, there's Amish communities all around this country over here in the United States. There's Amish communities, and they've learned how to live naturally, you know. For the most part, most of the Amish don't go into automobiles. They still drive around in horse buggies. Not saying we have to drive around in horse buggies, but their community has figured out a way to, even in modern-day society, be able to, you know, live off the land and prosper and you know, be respectful to each other. They learned all kinds of things throughout their history of how to preserve food and for medicine and stuff. There's a vast wealth of knowledge in every single culture out there. And here we sit in the year 2017. We got our fingertips on the world's, like my friend Steve always says, that we have the vast sum of all man's knowledge at our fingertips. Excuse me. Got to pause and take a drink of coffee. We have all this knowledge that we could do so much with. We have this wonderful world which has unbelievable amount of resources. In my mind, because of the way that I am and the way my heart is and the way that I think, I can see a world where everything is and everyone is taken care of. Because of the road that I've traveled in my life and the things that I've seen terrible things. I've seen things that no man or woman should ever have to see in their entire lifetime. But I have also seen wonderful things. I've seen things and situations that would just warm your heart and make it smile. I feel like that if we could actually get a grip on that part of our beings, these networks out here, like my friend Patty over there at TCT Radio and her round table, they get together and they work through stuff. They talk about politics, they talk about things that's going on in life and, you know, the evils of the world, and they always try to figure out a way that we can resolve it together peacefully. And so the Knights of the Round Table isn't the only show out there where people are actually gathering together, talking, trying to put some common sense together. I'm sure that if you could step back in space and far enough away and be able to hear all the radio shows and all the voices out there in the world, you might be surprised at how many of them out there are talking about doing something good, something wonderful. sharing some love with the world. You know, Paul Harvey in that deal, If I Were the Devil, back in 1965, he saw some evils of the world coming up, and he spoke out about it in 1965. That's a long time from now. That's like 51, 52 years ago. Somewhere around about. And that was some wisdom shouted out back then as a warning to the world, you know. Pay attention, because there is a beast arising. And you need to, if you want to have a life of freedom and peace, hope, and love, then you need to be aware that somewhere around here is a monster trying to attack us all. And I hope you understand what I meant by saying that, because it's not a, I'm not trying to be scaring you or fear mongering. And even Thomas Jefferson said the price to freedom was eternal vigilance. And all the way through history, the voices of reason spoke out, and they said, you need to pay attention. There's good and bad in the world. My belief is, for the most part, the average Joe of the 9 billion people on this earth are good people. But those ones that decide to want to go down that dark road, that want to try to hinder society, those are the folks you need to keep your eye on. How do we get around that? It's not an easy task, that's for sure. I'm looking up on the Knights of the Round Table podcast page. And I believe this is number 216. 216 times we either gathered here together, or I've gathered here by myself. Sometimes the knights show up at the last minute. Sometimes they don't show up at all. They might be out fighting dragons in their own life. But nonetheless, I have no doubt in my mind that all the individuals that ever was on the Knights of the Round Table have something in their life that they're trying to make the world a better place. I'm going to post a little picture that I posted before. And this picture, to me, it speaks volumes of what could be accomplished. There is a story behind this picture, but nonetheless, somebody in this world literally had to take the time to make this dream, this miracle happen. And it doesn't matter who takes the time, as long as somebody takes the time to make this kind of stuff happen. When I first saw this picture, my heart just sunk. And at the same time, it was elevated to the heights of heaven. Because if you cut this picture in half, and you see the little boy in the picture on the one side in that kind of condition, and you can't be affected by that, then your heart's not in the right place. It's not easy being human. It's a chore. But to see that baby go from the state that that baby was in about a year or so later to being in the state that he's in now, and to know that that baby has a chance in life, you know, that's just amazing. And if this is going on around the world out there, which apparently it is, then humanity needs to step forward and do what that lady did. All of us, any chance we get, need to step forward and do what that lady did, even if it's on a tiny scale and not nowhere near as profound as what was seen in that picture. So I went and gave a homeless man my last $10. Does that make me a better person than anybody else out there? No. It just means that I listened to that little voice inside my head, wherever it come from, divine intervention or whatever. I listened to the voice of reason that said that I am the blessing. And for listening, apparently I was blessed myself. I could have gone out and helped out a whole bunch of other people, I guess. The whole point, if you look out there and you see all the travesties and the corruption going on in this world, you can't just lay down and give up to it. Sometimes you may find yourself wrestling the beast, and sometimes the beast may get the better of you. And it's highly likely that if you ever wrestle the beast, that you're not going to come away totally unscathed. You're going to come away, you're going to get bitten. You're going to get scratched or something. But for those brave knights that run into battle trying to help everybody else out there, that's an honorable life. Sometimes you're going to have to laugh, and sometimes you're going to have to cry, and sometimes you're going to have to just try to fight your way through. But the end goal, I think, is all going to be worth it. When one day that all of our efforts pay off and this whole world becomes enlightened enough to understand that we learned so much from our past and the mistakes that we made, that our forefathers made, and we never make those same mistakes again. I can see a really good world out here if we really wanted to take the time to do it. You know, some folks said, you know, all you do is talk around here. All we do is this or whatever. You know, I'm like, you know, look, if talking's all I got, then at least I'm talking. I'm going to keep on talking if that's all I got. If I can throw some words of wisdom out there that might hit the right ear, that might benefit or bless somebody else in the world or get them motivated to do some act of kindness, then what have I lost for one night of a week of my life of getting out there talking to the people? I would think that's probably should be the mindset of all the pastors of all the churches out there. All the kings of the world, to recognize that they are the servants of their brothers and sisters. You are your brother's keeper. You're the caretakers of the land and one another. If you figure that out, you can have a wonderful life and still help people out. We got access to technology that would uplift everybody to a higher level of comfort and health and everything that we need. We've got the solutions. We've honestly got the solutions to every problem that this world has. There's a dam that everybody keeps stressing over, is working on breaking. We got engineers that could go over there and smart individuals that could show them how you could repair that, and where you could put that water where it's needed. We could move resources where necessary in order to make sure that the people living at the other end of that dam don't get flooded out. We got that power. We got that knowledge. But for the most part, it's a dramatic scene playing out with no solution other than a potential catastrophe. The folks standing out there are shouting the words of wisdom need to be listened to. Back to watching those protests, when you see one side shouting, you're a racist, you see the other side shouting, you're a racist, and you're this, and you're that, and the name calling continues to go on and on and on, and it's a never-ending perpetual back and forth feuding. I wish I could walk in the center of that crowd and snap my fingers and make everybody just shut up. and have to hear what it is I had to say. If I had that magical power, I'd have to be busy at all the protesters trying to wake them up to common sense. I understand you need to speak your grievance and you need to be able to have some remedy for, you know, things done against you. But you also need to understand that you need to do it with common sense. Going out there protesting the guys and gals with guns and billy clubs and stuff like that, or burning down your own communities, that's not going to do it. I always say peace never came from the end of the barrel of a gun. And there's a saying in my book somewhere that if you live by the sword, you shall surely die by the sword. And I don't know about y'all, but I don't think dying by the sword sounds very pleasant. I don't think dying by a gunshot sounds very pleasant either. I don't think dying in any way is pleasant. But nonetheless, it falls all right back to the same old deal. Treat others as you'd want to be treated yourself. That's the words of wisdom. While these folks are out there protesting and they don't even know who the person is behind the scene that's the agitator, the Jerry Springers of the world. You ever watch that show? I'm sure a lot of you have. Get people coming all over with controversy and get folks in the background hollering, "Jerry, Jerry." They're all excited because there's two people battling it out about some crazy subject or whatever. They just want to see a fight. Those folks out there that just want to see a fight, they just want to be entertained, someday they might be on the wrong side of that show. And people might be taking joy in watching their misery. I don't find joy in anybody else's misery. I don't find laughter in racial jokes or, you know, any way that is talking about harming somebody. So I think that in my journey of life, I think I've actually figured it out. I've actually learned the lesson I was sitting here to learn. And now it's my turn to try to teach that lesson to somebody else out there in the world in hopes that they'll perpetuate that, kind of like the pay it forward thing. There's so much that we can accomplish together. There's so many wonderful, brilliant minds. So much talent. So much that this world has to offer. We have everything we need. I don't know where any of the knights are today, but I hope they're out there in the world. And I hope they're blessed, and I hope they're blessing others. Because that's what it's all about. You know, somebody, and I find this really offensive, but somebody, one of my friends always tells me I'm on a soapbox. They ended up there preaching to the choir. But for those folks that are out there listening, these words aren't just for you. These podcasts, they go up on the website at www.shazizradio.com. They go up on the website. If you scroll over, there's drop-down menus on the Knights of the Round Table and the Mad Science, and there's podcasts down under there. And so these words aren't just for you. Those are for your friends or your family or anybody you wish to share it with. Future generations who might want to look back and see what we were talking about these days. Jermaine typed into the chat room, "You help me, Shaziz." Well, brother, you help me as well. The first time I saw that solenoid motor that you built, Jermaine, it made me feel good because a long time ago, I had an idea for such a machine that maybe a little bit more advanced. But when I saw yours and I saw the way that it worked and the amount of torque that I could see from what was going on in the video, it made me feel so good inside, because I knew that there's a young person that was a thinker like myself, a builder, a creator. And so you helped me. You made my life better just by building that and sharing it with the world. That's how this thing works. So I want to thank you. I want to thank everyone else out there for their service. The folks that, like Steven, that always put good links into the chat room, and some of the amazing words that he types in. Words of wisdom. It's that, and the hearts of all the people who have joined the Knights of the Round Table in the past and into the future, that is what makes the Knights of the Round Table what the Knights of the Round Table is. On the podcast page for the Knights of the Round Table, there's a couple pictures on there. One of these pictures, I think, got a little bit of meaning to them. But the two I like the most are the very top of the page, second and third picture on the page. The first one is a knight kneeling down, and it said Knight's Code of Honor. It says, let truth, honor, justice, respect, fairness, wisdom, and courage, and the love for one another be our guide. Grant us the wisdom to do what is right. And right below it is a real cute little picture of a little squirrel in his little suit of armor, and got a little sword on his side, and it said, even the smallest knight can make a difference. And that speaks a volume for those folks out there who feel like there ain't nothing that they can do. You know, there's always something you can do. There's always something you can say, even if it's something as simple as a smile on your face. even if it's something as simple as sharing something with somebody else. We got a lot of potential as human beings. We got so many different ways that we can do so much, so many acts of kindness for people. There's one thing about love is that your wallet may not be very thick, and it may get empty really fast, but your heart, if it's full of love, you ain't never going to run out of that. It's a picture on here with the sunrise. Pretty nice, somber picture. It says, every new day comes with new hope and a chance for a better world. The choice is up to you. You can make a difference. Join the Knights of the Round Table in our quest to make it so. So if you're listening out there and you like what you heard, share this podcast with somebody. Just send them over here and have them take a look around and see what it is, what's all about. Nobody's the leader. We're not even followers. All we are brothers and sisters that work hand in hand to try to work towards a better way of life for everybody. I talked about some time back about planting fruit tree seeds. The whole story and the moral to Johnny Appleseed. You know, there's a story out there, Johnny Appleseed. If you haven't read it, you know, it's a good story to read. If you sit back and you really contemplate on what it was that you just read, and you think about this man that walked around and he planted apple seeds everywhere he went and grew apple trees for people, some of those seeds he planted, he will never, ever experience the joy of the fruits of his labor. He won't ever even probably see an apple on one of those trees that grows from that seed. But just by his mere act of kindness going around doing that, somebody in the future is going to benefit from his work. Imagine if everyone in this world was a Johnny Appleseed. Imagine if everyone in this world would literally go around and plant seeds of hope and food and everything that you need to survive in this world. I think that this world would be so much better so quickly if people could just figure all that out. Well, I'm going to try to find a song on here. Take a music break. See if I can get somebody to join me here on the Knights of the Round Table. Because I'm sure a lot of people don't want to just like, let's sit around and listen to me gab all day long. Words of wisdom. Standing on my soapbox. Ranting. You should really listen to what people have to say. Sometimes it's better to be a good listener than a good speaker. Sometimes it's more important to listen than to speak. But when it comes time for you to speak up, you need to tell it from the heart. You need to tell it from the heart with every kind of respect and love that you got. And your message will be heard. That's the way I go with it. I just can't for the life of me find a decent song. But there's one that sounds really good there. I'll just throw that one in there for the moment and look for another. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. If you'd like to join in, just jump over there and nag me as a contact on Skype, or jump over there in the chat room and say hi to folks over there. Peace and love, everybody. Stay tuned.
Lazy yellow moon coming up to tonight, shining through the trees. Crickets are singing and lightning bugs are floating on the breeze. Baby, get ready. Across the field where the creek turns back by the old stumble road, I'm gonna take you to a special place that nobody knows. Baby, get ready. Don't matter if we're sick forever and the fish don't bite. me, brother, when you need a hand. We all need somebody to lean on. I just might have a problem that you'll understand. We all need somebody to lean on. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on, for it won't be long till I'm.
Oh. Thank you. one single breath for granted. God forbid love ever leave you empty-handed. I hope you still feel small when you stand beside the ocean. Whenever one door closes, I hope one more opens. Promise me that you'll give faith a fighting chance. And when you get the choice to sit it out, you'll give faith a fighting chance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance.
You are my man. that I'll answer when I'm with you. Even though they may be high, it seems I'm far away. Never wonder where I am, 'cause I am always by your side, 'cause I'm your lady and you are my man. Whenever you reach for me, I'll do all that I can. We're heading for something, somewhere I've never been. Sometimes I am frightened, but I'm ready to learn all the power.
Listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html. Man, it looks like we lost Jermaine too. People are dropping like flies, Barry. Are you still there?
Yeah, must be nice. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah. So, like, yeah. You say... hold on, what'd you say?
It's probably my fault.
Uh-oh. You want me to try to call them all back?
Yeah, maybe you better do that.
All right. Well, I'll...
Okay.
This is going to be a big phone call.
Huh.
Alright, we're dialing the whole entire... We're dialing the whole entire Knights of the Round Table. Jermaine, are you there?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I don't know what happened, but Barry lost the call or something. So, I just dialed the whole Knights of the Round Table to see who wanted back in and who doesn't. All right. Who else we got in here so far?
There was Barry, but he dropped out again.
Yeah, I'm watching him drop like flies. Point. Point. All right. Okay. So far we got Jermaine. Well, once this call is over, we'll try to add Barry again.
Right.
We had
Bill Huscombe to join in a couple minutes.
We had Melissa earlier. Looks like it's just you and I. Let's try to add Barry. Add people to this call. This is exciting. We're doing this live, you know. Add the call, Barry. And let's see. I'll try to add Melissa back and see if she wanted to come back in, because I thought she was excited but surprised. Oh, man. I don't think we got Barry yet either. So, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table, folks. And, okay, that one there's busy. That one's busy. Well, looks like it's just going to be you and I, Jermaine.
Alright.
And whoever shows up after that, let me see. Stephen Gibbons posted a message in there. Hold on.
Have you tried adding Billy? Or calling Billy?
No. But you can add him. Alright, so. Sorry for all the folks that dropped off there. That stinks, but, anyway, I'm reading a comment in the deal. Okay, well, Stephen Gibbons posted a song. I'm going to try to do something here.
Billy is there now.
I'm
trying to get everything together.
We're playing a song live. I couldn't get it over to Sam.
Good morning, Jan. Good morning, Jermaine.
Good morning. I'm playing the song the hard way for Steven. Playing it right over Skype. And we're talking over it.
Okay, you have a very bad connection.
All right. Steven, I'll try to download that song and I'll make it up to you, brother, and I'll play that song for you. All right, Billy, how's it going?
Hey, Jazz, man. What's it up,
Pretty good. We're live. You're on the Knights of the Round Table. Been talking about hope and love and all that kind of stuff today. And I typed a message off into the chat room. I said my only hope and simple expectation for an act of kindness is that you pass it on with love if you're able. You know, I had a young man and another guy in there remind me about life is, you know. A lot of times all you hear in this world is negativity. Everything's negative all the time. And it'll put a drain on you. And even though we're out there trying to fight against the beast that's trying to eat us all alive and trying to seek hope and truth and solutions and everything like that, you know, it's not easy, being human, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's time for us brothers to come together and give each other a hug.
Yeah, I agree, man. I agree.
You know, all this festering fighting going on, it's just not right. My conclusion is, you can't have peace without love.
That's right.
You can't, And you can't have love without peace.
Yeah, and like I keep saying all the time, peace never comes from the end of the barrel of a gun and never comes from the end of a sword either. You know, there's a saying back in the good book says, if you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. You know, and like I said earlier, that's not a probably not a pleasant way to go. So,
well, I take it back even further than that. You can't have a life without a switch. Your mama's got to have that switch to make you a man.
Yeah, that's another one of the stories in there about you spare the rod, you spoil the child. Now, not saying go out and beat the tarnation out of your kids, but got to raise them with some respect and some hope and some love from people, man.
Well, you know the modern day version of that, Chaz, is if you spare the cell phone, then you spare the child.
Oh, yeah, some of these modern technology can be a dangerous thing when it comes down to trying to get some morality into people. Hi, Barry, you made it back.
Yeah, but this is a pain in the butt to do this out of telephone, man, when my computer crashed last night. And I got problems with that now, so. You know any computer geeks and terrorists?
Well, I know some. Old school kind of computer geeks, but as far as modern technology, I've lost track of all that.
Hey Barry, I'll get with you in a little bit and we'll figure out what's going on there. What happened?
Well, when I set my computer up now, it boots up and then it shows me my Windows and then it dies. Boots up and then it dies.
Does it die like the battery die or?
No, the screen will go black. It boots up, comes up, my window comes up, my iPhone starts showing up. As soon as that happens, the computer shuts down.
Yikes.
Yeah, you got some fuzz in there from a buzz.
I think somebody hacked my computer, what I think, because it was working fine and all of a sudden it started working like crap.
Well, it seems like there's a lot of that going around these days, man. People getting their doggone Facebooks and stuff like that hacked, and people doing some crazy stuff. Looks like we lost Jermaine again. Doggone it.
Well, he was breaking up real bad. I imagine he's going to try to reboot or do something because he was cutting out so bad I couldn't even understand it.
Well, anyway, I wanted to try to take this show into a more uplifting deal because every so often we're on this roller coaster called life, and then life gets all kinds of crazy, and you got to remind each other about the simple things sometimes. Sometimes it's the simplest things that make the best things in this world, you know?
Well, it's kind of hard for me to talk that way right now. I'm sitting in the hospital with a bunch of tubes hanging out, and I'm just pestering the hell out of the nurses here, by the way.
Huh. You didn't feel it? No.
Oh, yeah. You didn't.
So what's
you
going,
missed it.
What's
you
going,
missed a good one. Go ahead.
What's going on with your health there, Billy?
Oh, my body went crazy and decided to turn everything into toxicity. And they're trying to pump it out of me. You know, they pull it out of one vein and they stick it in another. And it's called dialysis.
Yeah, my stepfather's going through that right now. He's got the same issue.
Well, they're having to do a slow dialysis. They don't want to do it fast because they're in fear the changes would shock my body so bad that I wouldn't make it.
Well, we're glad you're still around, and I send my prayers out for you and all that kind of stuff.
Well, they're pulling me off the tubes last night, and if I am cleared today and tomorrow, they'll probably let me home. But until then, I have to run around and have a nurse run down the hall, pick up a laptop from another room, bring it down here, because the only thing I got is a tablet, and it don't have a mic on it. So I had to, that's why I was late getting here. You know, you guys called earlier, and I couldn't get in. But anyways, but you missed it. We had a on-air situation. What's that? Friday night? Yeah, Friday night. I fixed a nurse. She was kind of mean to me. You know how nurses are in a hospital. They take all degradation of being a human away from you. They come in waking you up all times in the night. You know, that sort of thing. Just pester the heck out of you, right? Well, I had to fix her. You know, I just had to do it. I had to come up with something. So I saved my chocolate pudding for two nights and bagged it up, and I put it in the drawer. And, came time for the bedpan to be checked and measured, and well, I just kind of, you know, they're plastic bedpans now. You ever use those things?
No.
it's a torture upon man as it is. Well, anyways, just before I heard her going around to the room down the hall and doing her thing, you can always tell when you hear that thud of her popping that bedpan in the stool trying to empty it. So I took the one in the neighbor store, who I don't have a roommate, just an empty bed there. So I took his bedpan, which was nice and clean, and I stuck that chocolate pudding in there. And she came in the door and she grabbed that pan and she started to weigh it. And I reached over and I grabbed it. And I said, "I'm not through with that." And I took out a spoon and I started shoveling it in my mouth.
Oh, man.
I was on the air with Revolution Radio, doing their round table. Oh, well,
that's a little too graphic for our show. Oh, man.
Well, she gagged a couple times and she barfed all over the computer.
Oh, man.
So I had to... So this computer's got kind of... Can you smell it from here?
All right, well, let's take this down a different road, because, that's bad.
Yeah, a little rough on the stomach to start the day here, Billy.
Well, I thought it was funny. I figured that's what you guys needed, was just a little hump on the dump, you know?
All right, well, anyway, moving right along.
It was a good thing.
So, how's life on your side of the planet there, Barry?
Well, besides the fact that my computer crashed last night, that puts me in a bit of a tizzy, because everything I do is on the computer, and I've got all kinds of things I was going to do today, and now that's put on a hiatus, and I don't know any computer geeks that I can get out on a Sunday. I know somebody I can get tomorrow. Trying to figure out what's going on with it, but besides that, I made a whole bunch of chaga yesterday and had a case of Equipador yesterday and some more healthy people in my community. Besides that, getting ready for spring. The mushrooms are starting in about 3 weeks, so we'll be in the bush here about 3 weeks from now. Besides that, it's just a regular day in a confused world that we live in.
Yeah.
A good thing, I wanted to share a positive with you guys. About a month ago, we gave my elected representative, a guy named Nathan Collins, sits in Parliament for our area here. We gave him a cost analysis, and we did a feasibility study on a hemp plant in Northern British Columbia here, and I had a response form yesterday that they're considering it they're considering it right now. It's in front of some people in Ottawa, and they're looking at us actually opening up a hempcrete factory in Northern British Columbia. So it's feasible. There's a company that just opened one in Manitoba, and they're producing hemp boards and hemp 2x4s and 2x6s right now as we talk. So it's coming.
Cool.
Yeah.
So there are solutions in the works right now. Things are, you know, slowly but surely, you know, things are starting to work out. People are starting to get wise and moving down different directions from where we've been going as humanity. There's a lot of cleaning up to be done, a lot of, you know, possibilities of actually bringing people together, if you understand what I'm trying to say here, without babbling. Oh, man, that last story. Sorry, Bill, that last story just kind of threw me for a loop. Anyway, so basically I started off this show this morning and I was talking about how I was driving down the road and I was on my way to an appointment at the VA, and I saw a homeless man there. Well, on the way out, I was in the hurry, and I, you know, as on the time schedule, I had to get there at a certain time. And so on the way out, I just kind of waved at the guy, and he waved back, you know, and then When I finally got done with my my appointment down there, and I was heading back a second time. Well, on the second time around, and I get past this individual, getting ready to pass this individual for a second go around. Well, I started praying to my God. I said, Lord, could you please send that man a blessing? And I didn't get no more than a quarter mile down the road. And whether coming from my heart or my mind or divine intervention, I kept hearing the words in my head and in my heart that you are the blessing. So I did a U-turn out in the middle of the road. And keep in mind, I started off in the morning. I only had $10, and I was going to use that for fuel if I needed it to get back home, because I live a long ways from where I went. So as I'm turning around and doing a U-turn in the road, I'm saying to the Lord, I'm saying, Lord, I'm about to give this man my $10, so can you at least make sure I make it home all right? So I go down there and I give this man $10, and he says thank you and all that, and I told him, I said, you just get yourself something to eat and take care of yourself, brother. And then I went on down the road. Well, as the day progressed, not once but twice I was blessed with I'll just tell the story again, doggone it. I get over there to visit with my aunt and my mom and a couple of my aunts and my mom and my uncle, and I started sharing this story with them, and I told them just like I told you, and then before you could even think about anything, my aunt just suddenly hands me a $20 bill, and I was telling her, look, I didn't tell you this story to get money off of you. And she said, no, it's a blessing, take it. And my aunt and my mom and everybody else in the room's all like, it's a blessing, you can't reject it. And so I started off with $10, I ended up with $20. Well, the day progressed, and I helped my uncle out with the project, and before it was all said and done, he's handing me a $20 bill. And so now I'm up to $40, and I'm trying to tell him, look, my aunt already gave me $20. I said, I appreciate it, but he wasn't going to take no for an answer. He said, it's a blessing, you can't reject it. So now I'm up to $40. Well, it just so happened that on the way home, I found something I needed for one of my projects working on for Mad Science, and was able to get that, got gas in my car. And then when I got home and I told my wife about the story, she was a little concerned because I hadn't got to the point about my blessing, because I told her about, I saw this homeless guy, and she already knew the type of person I am, that if this was leading up to I give him my gas money, my $10. And so I finally finished the story out to her, and I handed her the balance of that money. Just so happened to be exactly what she needed, because she had given me her last $10 prior in the morning so that I would have gas to get to my journey and back. And so everything just seemed to work out, through that whole entire day. And somewhere in that process, I ended up getting a quarter that was 1965, and that's the year I was born. And so I'm looking at this quarter, and all I could think about is there was a reason why I was put here to do something. It doesn't matter how little I might think it is or whatever, to do something or to say something or just to be a part of what we're all a part of right now. And it got me thinking about life, man. There's a lot of, there's so much out there. It seems like you never always have what you want, but there's always something out there to make sure that you have what you need. There's times whenever we go through really serious hard times, especially over here in the United States, where we're a little more blessed than, maybe a lot more blessed than a lot of people around the world. And we may not live in the lap of luxury, but you gotta admit, looking back on your hardest times out there, there was always some brother or sister or some circumstance that came along just at the right time in the right place to allow you to have what you needed to be here today. What do you think?
Well,
what comes in? Go ahead.
Well, it's hard to really put that in the United States when we have to actually look yonder to other countries. You know, we think we have it good, or we think we have it bad, so bad here, Yet, if you go to another country, they think they have it better than us, and you look around, and really they don't. It's their conception, and that's what the word is. Your conception of where you're at. You can be happy, you can be sad, you can be any way you want to. It's you that makes it that way.
Yeah.
It's not... you want to be like the Smiths. You know, all the time, you know, remember the story, be like the Joneses and that sort of stuff. That's our biggest problem here in the United States. We want to be big boys, rich boys, and think that's happiness. And when you get there, guess what? The happiness is not there. You have to accept who you are, where you're at, and why you are there.
Yep.
That's happiness. When you accept those things and make your own goals instead of trying to force yourself to be somebody else's goal, then you have happiness.
Well, I mentioned on the show earlier, we got a couple pictures over on the podcast page, tonight's of the round table. And my most favorite picture of all on the deal is the Knight's Code of Honor, which says, "Let truth, honor, justice, respect, fairness, wisdom, courage, and the love for one another be our guide. Grant us the wisdom to do what is right." But right underneath that is an even more significant picture, which is a really cute little picture. It's got a little squirrel. He's in a little tiny, shiny suit of armor, and got a little sword on his side and a shield in front of him. And it says that even the smallest knight can make a difference. So, no matter where you stand in this world, you know, if you treat people the way you want to be treated, it seems like life just has a way of working its way through all the adversities that you might have to endure. There's a lot of bad things that happen to a lot of good people. So don't get me wrong, life isn't no bed of roses is what the song said. It's no picnic sometimes. I say life is like wrestling a cactus. It can be painful. But we got an opportunity here as humanity, all of us together. I mean, I know what I'm asking for whenever I talk about the dream, you know, where everybody finally comes together and realizes we can't keep making the same mistakes of the past. Just songs like that Lynyrd Skynyrd Simple Man, where mom's pretty much pointing out, you know, just be simple and humble and, you know, things will work out for you. And more people need to come to that mindset. We've saw history repeat itself so many times in so many devastating circumstances and, you know... I just wish that there was a way I could wave a magic wand across the entire planet and make everybody happy and peace and love, and can't we all just get along? But for some reason in this time that we're standing in right now, and maybe all the way back through history, that's never been the case. But still, go ahead.
Well, you know what 90% of that problem is? It's lack of respect. And you know what respect is? Respect is what you give to other people.
Yeah.
As a tribute. But, and people will give you respect back as a tribute. But the biggest problem we have these days, especially with our children that we are upbringing now, is they lack respect of themselves.
Well, Paul Harvey laid it out in 1965 in a little sound clip called If I Were the Devil. And he explained, if you just listen to that deal, it's almost like this man was a prophet of his own time, you know, because he just explained society and the deterioration of the way things were going. And so, even if you're not a believer in a divine creator, even if you're just the average Joe and you just want to like live life and get along and whatever, you can't deny that what that man said back there is what you're seeing in reality in today's world. And somehow or another, we got to steer this boat or this bus or whatever kind of vehicle we're on, because we're all in it together. We got to steer it away from the great abyss, the cliff that we're fixing to go over, because Once you get past a certain point, there ain't no turning back. You know, once society is fully collapsed, you know, some folks say, you know, they don't want no government. They say, you know, we want to kick government to the curb. You know, the system here in the United States of governing, it may be corrupt, it may be broken, it may need to be fixed, but a life without no kind of structure whatsoever could potentially be much worse, and whoever comes to power after that could be worse off than, you know, what we got so far. We just need to learn the wisdom and, you know, work within that system to repair that system in order to try to move forward. You understand what I'm trying to say here? Anybody?
Go ahead, Barry.
Well, the system itself will never work. The way the system's set up now will never work for society. The system's set up to support the bankers and support the government that are running over top of us. We have to change the system from the bottom up, and that's going to be done through grassroots movement.
Well, that's essentially what I was trying to get to. Was what you're saying about the grassroots thing. Everybody always blame, you know, they either blame God or they blame the government for all the woes of the world, when in reality, we're responsible for the things that we do in life, you know, and actions have consequences. And so if you're out there doing something positive to the world, then you're actually putting something towards making this world better, even if it's on a small scale, wouldn't you think?
Well, you know, we're all supporting the system right now, whether we know it or not. We're supporting the system because we're inside the system, and we're still going to stores and supporting corporations. We're still doing what they want us to do, and we've got to get out of that mindset. We've got to get into more of a grassroots movement in society, and that's what I see coming right now. Is people are really starting to become aware of the fact that the system is broken, the system's not working. We have to step away from the system. We can do that by taking little pieces out of that system every day of our lives, by not supporting the people that are running over top of us. That's one of the things that I try and do in my life. I try and support local businesses. I try not to buy anything from corporations, because those are the people that are running over top of us. So that's one of the things that I try and do in my own life.
Well, I agree with that idea.
It might sound small and insignificant, but it isn't, because if we all kind of adopted that attitude where we were supporting the people that are, like I said, running over top of us, you see big pieces come out of that unit right now.
I agree with that bit of wisdom there, Barry. I agree with that. I agree with that bit of wisdom. You know, we got to stop feeding a beast that's eating us alive. At the same sense, we don't want to, like, jump off the elevator before we get to the floor. You know, it's like cartoons.
Exactly.
You can jump out of the airplane at the last second and and not die according to the cartoons. But in reality, you need to build some sort of parachute. Like, we the people start building our own system alongside the system that we're walking away from. You see what I mean? Balance that out without jumping off the cliff first, because as it stands, we just throw what we got out the window, then we gotta reap the benefits or whatever of the consequences of having nothing. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Total chaos, and then the big bad boy on the block, he's the one that decides whether or not you do what you want to do or don't, because he's tougher than you. I don't want to live in a society like that. I want to live where everybody has an opportunity to speak freely and the protections of the rights that we were given, you know, what I believe by our Creator, but ultimately down here in this system that we're all trying to repair or get away from, which is our Constitution and our freedoms that, you know, it says that the government can't do certain things to us. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and the government's working in extreme ways right now. We see moves inside of government that we've never ever seen before in history. One example of that is they just passed the M103 motion in Canada. Now it's law that if I speak against Islam or Islamic radicalization in Canada, I can be criminally charged.
Wow.
For simply speaking my opinion about what I see is so obvious in our society, if I speak against that now in Canada, I can be criminally charged. Well, does that sound extreme?
Yeah, that's extreme.
Like, right off the wall? Well, that's where we're at right now, because the government in Canada is right out of control. They are so down the rabbit holes as far as globalist agenda goes. It's unbelievable. Canadians are starting to wake up to it in mass right now. out of the 34 million Canadians in Canada right now, I'll bet you 32 million would love to see Trudeau out of office tomorrow. And that's not an exaggeration. I'm looking at polls in Canada where 19,780 people were polled in Canada about the Liberal government, and 2% said they would support the Liberal government in the future. 98% of those 19,000 people said they would never, ever vote for Liberal government again because of what Trudeau was doing in the country. So, we are dealing with a real beast in Canada. Unbelievable what is going on in my country right now. But it's all part of a globalist agenda, and we know that.
Yeah.
We know that Trudeau is just a puppet. He's just a puppet being told what to do. He's a pretty little boy on strings, and they're pulling his strings. And we have a real fight going on in Canada right now. There's going to be a lot of Canadians, I know for a fact, there's going to be a lot of Canadians charged with this offense in the next couple months because there's thousands of us that will not be silenced, that we're not going to let our free speech be taken away.
Well,
that's part of our constitution. And we're going to be, a lot of Canadians are going to be going to court here.
There's
and
a lot
I'm
of,
going to be one of them because I won't be silenced.
I don't blame you. There's a lot of liberal agenda going on over here. And, you know, it's like anti-Trump protest. Whatever you think of Trump, that's neither here nor there. If you listen to what they're saying and watch what they're doing, they're literally calling the opposite side names that, you know, like fascist and all this kind of stuff like that, or racist, when in reality, the people behind the scenes that are actually backing these protests to do what they're doing, they're fighting against themselves, if you understand what I'm trying to say. They're literally supporting the beast and at the same time saying they're trying to fight against the beast. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, well, either it's out of ignorance or, you know, direct willfulness just to try to crash society or whatever, for whatever purpose, man. Well, somehow or another, somebody got to get in there and silence everybody long enough to speak a voice of reason before this thing goes haywire, worse than it's already has. There are actually folks out there advocating for civil war, and they don't understand the implications of what a real civil war is like. What I'd love for those folks to actually talk to somebody who's lived through a civil war and say, you know, hey, what's it like in the Civil War? You know, and they explain to them it's not something that you want because, you know, your family's in jeopardy, you're in jeopardy, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, everything that you ever held dear is in jeopardy. It's made the best man win, a free-for-all, and in the process, a whole lot of people get hurt. A whole lot of infrastructure gets destroyed. And so if these guys are able to bring about a revolution or whatever you want to call it, a civil war here in the United States, not only are they going to be fighting amongst each other, but they're going to be fighting amongst governments and big corporations and everything that is that they feared. Now, they're going to have that magnitude thousands of times over and have to try to come out on the other side being better off than they were before the mess. You see what I mean?
Well, you know, one of the things about civil war is you're talking about the division of people. And the worst thing that happens in civil war is not just division of government. It's not just a division of the people, the public, friends, the neighbors. There is a division of families.
Yeah.
And when you have a division of families, you have a division of everything you ever believed in. And this is what the problem is. Problem is, the media gets a hold of this and they divide families. It's been a matter of history.
That divide and conquer.
Right.
You destroy the family unit, you destroy the nation. Simple as that. And that's what's happening in America and Canada right now, as we talk.
Yeah,
it's all under attack on the family unit.
And what happened, you know, when Trudeau was being pumped up to be Prime Minister, you had all those Canadians out there saying, if he becomes the PM, I'm moving to America. And in America, they were all saying, I mean, within the government, officials were saying, if Trump becomes President, I'm moving to Canada. In fact, Obama even said that.
Huh.
If he becomes President, I'm moving to Canada.
Well, I want to move to the States now.
So here's this trade-off. We're going to send you all the Democrats, and you send all
the Republicans down there.
Right.
I'm going to step away for about 3 minutes, guys. I'll be right back.
Well, while everybody's talking about moving out of their homelands into other lands to try to find a better place, you know, it's like that whole grass is greener on the other side of the fence. We got a, you know, Robert Kennedy, John F. Kennedy, gave a brilliant speech back in the day talking about a vast conspiracy and big old military industrial machine that was basically walking over people and doing things behind the scenes that was manipulating societies and such, and that we needed to bring all this to light. Well, you've seen how he fared during that deal. Wasn't good.
Yeah, well, you know, Kennedy was just taking up where Eisenhower left off. He, you know, he said the same things that Eisenhower did, was warning of, and put it in a text where people could understand.
Yeah.
And you're right. Look what happened to JFK.
Well, somehow or another, we got to keep that that kind of mindset alive to where, you know, Thomas Jefferson said the price to freedom was eternal vigilance, and that needs to be taken to heart because, unfortunately, under the circumstances that we find ourselves in, you know, the rights that we've got are, you know, they're fragile, and once you lose them, you ain't getting them back. You know, without a bloody revolution, there's no way to, you know, reverse the course that we're on. And I'm afraid that someday that these people, the average Joes out here, are going to allow the system to manipulate them to the point where they take it across that line. And if there's ever a second civil war in the United States, it's over. There ain't going to be no United States. The flag might still stand to some extent, but it's never going to be what the American dream was meant to be. Now, keep in mind, I know the history of this country to the extent that what of all the information that I've been fed from every school book and even alternative media and such, and so I know that during this time that America has become what America is today, there was a lot of atrocities to go around for all different groups of immigrants and even the indigenous people that were here prior to here and now. But here we are, we're standing here, right here and right now, and we got to figure out some sort of peaceful resolution to make it good and right by everybody. It's one heck of a task. It's not something that got this way overnight, and it's not something that's going to be repaired overnight. But that's why we do the Knights of the Round Table, is to try to bring these brilliant minds from around the globe to sit down at the table and talk things out in a peaceful manner, seeking the solutions necessary to get out there and resolve these issues in our communities. You know, that's the best we got at the moment. And, you know, like I said, outside of a bloody revolution where you just go in there and find all the doggone corrupt politicians and run them out of town on a rail and fight with each other and the military and whoever's got their own political or religious ideology that they want to try to get through, you know, with their own personal agendas or whatever. If we don't get past that point, at some point, you know, there's only so far that you can go. There's only so far that you can blow up a balloon or, you know, the last straw on the camel's back, if you understand what I'm trying to point out. Something got to give. And these protests going on right now, maybe they hate the doggone dude that's in the office. And maybe some folks are right that the so-called illegal aliens need to be shipped back. Or maybe it's a case that we all just say, hold on this second. Alright, everybody who's here right now, if you're not a criminal, we're going to find out if you're a criminal. If you're not a criminal, we're going to give you a grace period. We're going to resolve all this stuff right here, and we're going to try to keep families together, and we're going to find a peaceful resolution to this. And from that point on, we're building the wall and making sure that nobody else comes across there. You know, some sort of common sense compromise in the whole situation. Otherwise, what you end up is a doggone race war, a civil war, rioting in the streets and protesting. It ain't doing nothing for nobody. It's not getting anything resolved. All it's doing is burning down communities, and then people are complaining that they ain't got a job. I saw this down here in Kansas City, Missouri, back years ago. There was a huge riot down there. They burnt down their own community. Right? And now, to this very day, that place has never came back from that. Jobs never came back to that place, with the exception of a few small businesses owners that, you know, because they could get buildings cheap, they would move in and they'd start up a business because it wasn't so expensive. Their overhead was down. But still, nonetheless, they're in the neighborhood. They got bars on their windows for fear that they might get robbed or whatever. And the people down there complaining how they ain't got no jobs. Ferguson, Missouri is another prime example. They got mad, they rioted, they burnt down their own communities, and they wonder why they ain't got no jobs. Well, if I'm a business owner and I've been in a riot situation, somebody burnt me out and looted my business, I'm less likely to ever want to go back there. Even if the insurance pays off one time, they ain't going to pay off the second time. You see what I mean? So somebody got to find some common sense in there. Somebody got to find some common ground. We can get the government to do what we want, but the first thing that we got to do is get control of our own actions. Am I wrong?
Nope, you're right.
You know, you can't tear down your world and expect everything's going to be great. You got to figure out some way to do this. We've been doing this over and over. This is a repeat, you know. It's like that Pete and Repeat are in a boat and Pete falls out, who'd be left? You could go on forever and a day doing that.
Well, you know, the biggest problem here is we live in... Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh,
okay.
What?
Why are you trying to call me? Okay. The biggest problem we have here these days are people not being in alliance with each other. When something happens, a disaster happens, for example, everybody jumps in to that town and tries to take what the town was away. The people that live there have no choice but to take on what's coming at them. I mean, every disaster you ever look at has been just a crucifixion of the civil order that was there before. It won't ever be there again.
Yeah, and it's a shame because folks that children that when they're born in communities that have been devastated by whatever, whether it be a natural disaster or man-made riot or looting and pillaging and all that, they raised up in these areas and they don't know that there's a greener side on the other side of the fence or something like that, so to speak, you know. And there's nobody there who's really got the, I don't necessarily want to call it willpower, because people want to be able to do good things for their community, but they're up against the wall. If you understand what I'm trying to say, is that, you know, it's kind of like this. I got a shop over at my other place over here that is just in such a doggone disarray. When I go walking in there, it looks so overwhelming that I'm already discouraged from the get-go because it's just so overwhelming. Well, if you're in a community such as the one we've talked about, and it seems like, you know, everybody's fighting everybody, there's drugs and guns and violence and craziness going on, it seems like you ain't got no way that you can fix it. And without some sort of outside force or divine intervention, that it's just going to perpetuate. Imagine being a child and growing up in that kind of situation. Your hope is already down the drain. And the first time somebody offers you something cool, you know, hey, look, go out there and sell these drugs for me, and I'll give you some money. You could buy those neat tennis shoes you wanted, right? The same tennis shoes that might get you beat up if you get caught wearing them in the wrong place. You see what I mean? And we got to figure out a way to help these people help themselves. Otherwise, it's going to be a continuous, perpetual downslide, if you understand what I'm trying to say here. Hi, Patty. Are you there?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Is that Patty walking through it?
Yeah.
It sure is.
Oh, my God. Good morning, Patty.
Good morning, Barry.
Hey, hi, Patty. Hi, Patty, walking backwards.
We're trying to figure out ways that we can uplift people's hopes and motivations and positive pebbles. I put a, I don't know if you saw the message yet, but I put a message, I kind of pasted it around, I spammed everybody. I said, my only hope and simple expectation for an act of kindness is that you pass it on with love if you are able. That's simple,
yes.
Here's the other situation that I want to bring up. You're talking about, you know, what happens to the fan, you know, in destruction or any bad thing that happens in your life. We always go back and try to build what we had just the way we had it. And that is where we go wrong. We're failing to look back at the history of our lives, of everything in our lives. And when we build back the same way we were, instead of building for the future. And our future is our children. And we need to build for our children, not just for us.
I agree.
And quit putting these politicians in there that are so old, they're in the last crisis of their lives. This is the last round up for them. They've got nothing but vengeance on their minds and all this other past history that they didn't learn from the first time, and they're trying to put it on as a matter of history. Let's do it again, over and over. I don't care how many wars we go at, they always try to make another war.
Well,
they
know,
don't look at what now.
You know, Billy, if I was to ever be able to literally select my own version of government, I would want a version like the Native Americans had, where they had a circle, like we got right now. You know, they sit around and respectfully work things out and make choices, and it's not send Granny and Grandpa off to the old folks' home. From the time you're in that community, you're taken care of from the time you're born till the time you die, and you're respected, you know, with the respect that you give others. And if we had that kind of community, I like Patty's show that they do, and they always pass around the talking stick to each other because they show each other respect and give each other a voice and allow their words to be heard, because everyone's got something to say. Everyone's got something to offer to it. And the wisdom of the elders, you know, it's not forgotten. You listen to what they live through, and you try to learn from that. Am I wrong, Patty?
No, you're absolutely right. And that's really one of the big things that we no longer have in our families today, Shaz, is that we're so separated. It used to be that generations lived with each other, that the youngest generation, third generation, knew the first generation because they lived with them. They were intimate in the way that they were with each other every day. A grandchild could always go to the elder. An elder could always go to the son or the daughter. There was always someone there, and it was never, that's your responsibility, that's your child, you know. It was, this is our child. Everybody mm-hmm. looked at the welfare. I remember when I was a child, it's not that long ago, I know I'm old, but in the grand scheme of things, yeah, in the grand scheme of things, it's not that long ago that if I went out to play, my neighborhood watched out for me. If I was doing something wrong that was going to hurt me or someone else, they came out of their house and they got on to me, you know. And if it caused a swat on the butt, then I got that swat on the butt. And my mama said, see, you shouldn't have done that. If you do that today... I just had an incident last week to where there were some children playing in a gravel pile, about 4 tons, and they were trying to dig a tunnel underneath it so that they could crawl up under it. And when I found out about this, you know, I told them, I said, and they were probably a good, oh, I'd say 30 yards away from me. I have emphysema, so I can't go running over there. So I stood on my porch and I said, you guys, get away from that. If that falls on you, we won't be able to get you out in time. You can't do that because that's not structurally sound, you know? Well, the next thing I know, I had a knock on my door, the mother, who was telling me, don't you dare yell at my kids. And I was trying to explain to her, I wasn't yelling at your children. I was yelling to them so that I could warn them to get away. But she didn't want to hear any of that. I mean, she was adamant about the fact that I had no right to yell at her kids. And I told her, I said, ma'am, I was trying to save your children. But she didn't want to hear any of that.
You know,
and to me, that's ludicrous.
If you stood idly by and just watched and didn't say nothing, then she'd be mad because you didn't say nothing and her child got hurt.
Well, you know what the sad thing was, Shaz? Is there were adults sitting right across the street watching those children.
Yeah.
And they didn't say a word. I mean, you have to know that a ton of gravel falling on a child is a bad thing. You have to know that a child trying to dig a tunnel under this gravel is a bad thing.
Yeah.
You know?
That would be
fun. Yes.
Well, now you all know how I feel. The last 25 years, I've been yelling and screaming about HARP and chemtrails and Agent Orange, and nobody heard me. And those that did make sense of it, they wanted to shut me up because, oh, we don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear that. Now that it's out and they're starting to realize there's a world out there that is a prodigy of not our future, it's of somebody else's future, that now they're starting to listen up a little bit. But that's been 25 years of screaming at the top of my lungs.
Well,
people don't want to listen.
You know, I don't think that 25 years was wasted because even though, like I said, this podcast right here will go up on the podcast page. And maybe we won't even see the fruits of our labor. Maybe sometime down the line, somebody will look back to see what we were saying from our generation and they'll listen to these podcasts and hopefully be benefited by them by saying that, you know, hey, these folks actually spoke out when it was time to speak out, and they actually helped to make this world the way it is now, you know. You understand what I'm trying to say here?
Yeah.
It wasn't a waste.
It's just like history, isn't it? I mean, we've had people stand up before all throughout history and
yeah.
try to warn the people, and they were the ones that were ostracized. They were the ones who were arrested or charged as a heretic just for trying to warn people what was going on. This, you know, here we are. But we live in such a knowledge-based society now that it is really appalling to me that people are not any more aware. But I understand the machinations behind this, the manipulation, the mind-bending. You know, they start on our children now in the womb. And by the time they're able to be up of any age to have any type of reasoning, they don't have the ability anymore, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
And once things get to the extent like that old messy garage that I'm talking about and things just seem so overwhelming, it's so easy for somebody to say, well, there ain't nothing I can do about it. Well, there is something you can do about it. You know, there's a power in the spoken word. If you say the right words to the right ears, you can motivate somebody to go out and do something kind for somebody, you know? It's so simple in my mind, but, you know, sometimes you just got to keep saying it and saying it and saying it and saying it until people finally take it to heart. What do you think?
I see society right now terrified of what they see. I see that in my community right now where people are starting to wake up and the reaction is absolute one of terror. They just don't believe it. Like they're seeing what they're seeing. Their eyes are finally opening and they're having this feeling of total despair. What can I do? I'm one person and this is a pile of bad stuff that we have to deal with. What can I do as a single individual? Well, there's lots we can do. There's one voice in silence. But if you get a million voices speaking the same language, they will hear us, and that's what we need to do. We need to unify society in a way that we understand who the enemy is. The enemy is not your friends and your neighbors. I'm going to add to what Patty says, and I've said this many times in my talks before, that when I was growing up, I experienced the Patty experience, that my family, we were raised in downtown Toronto, which now is a very dangerous place to walk any time of the day, but I could go 3 to 4 blocks away from my house. And if my parents wanted to find me, they could phone somebody 4 blocks away because we all knew each other. The neighbors knew each other. We knew everybody on our block. And my neighbors watched out for me. If they wanted to find me, they could call this person. And if they couldn't find me, they'd call another person and they'd find me. And I'd be sent home. But our society, our community, was a community. It was people interacting with each other, having dinners with each other, talking, interacting all the time. We don't have that in society anymore. If you had a person, normal person now, looking at this conversation, you would, if you ask them if they know their neighbors, well, 9 out of 10 would say they don't know their neighbors. They've never even talked to their neighbors. Well, our society is completely reversed from what it was when I was a child, where we interacted and our society was a society where we supported each other. Now it's like every man for himself.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you gotta, you know, society has gone so far away from what actually makes a society work. We don't recognize it, but that's where we've been led. And now we realize what's going on, we have to come back together. And there's lots of ways we can do that. We have to unify under one common cause.
Well,
and that's fighting the enemy we see. And the other thing that really should be a unifying force right now on this planet is what's actually happening to the planet. We're looking at everything around us, but we're not actually looking at the mother. And the mother right now is in big trouble. So if there's ever a unifying cause to unite people against the evil we see, it's the destruction of our planet. It is so in our face and coming so hard right now that if we don't, as a society, address this issue alone, we're not going to have a planet to live on in, you know, 15, 20 years. And that's not me saying it. Top scientists in the world now are saying that if we don't turn this around, we aren't going to have life on this planet. Well, that's something I wouldn't wish on anybody. I have children and grandchildren I'm looking at right now, and I'm going, what kind of a world are they going to have in 10 or 15 years? Well, it's not a world I would wish on anybody.
Well,
it's up to us right now to address it and change it.
The solution in my mind is to spread these doggone podcasts and words of wisdom out there. I mean, some folks will say, well, they're only words, you know. You have a lot more power than you can possibly imagine. The power of the spoken word, the power of the pen, the power of your actions, you know, leading by example. There's a whole lot to be said by that. And if you put the words of wisdom out there that gives somebody the hope and tells them, look, come over here to the table, sit down, and they'll help us figure this thing out, and we'll get people motivated to do the right thing. We're running out of time to talk, folks. Honestly. And I'm not saying that in a sense that I want to scare you into thinking that doomsday's right around the corner, but if you look out at the world and what we're told is going on out there, there's people out there right now, as we speak, right now in trouble. And they need somebody's hand. They need somebody's help. You know, and if we have the opportunity to do so, you know, I go back to that picture that I posted in the chat room of that little baby over there. If you see this little baby, it's like not real looking. To think that any baby would be in that kind of condition and that there would actually be other humans walking around as if this baby wasn't even no big deal. But then you see one lady sitting there and she's feeding this baby some water, and then they got an update picture of this baby about a year or so later. That's the kind of miracle I'm talking about. That's the kind of thing. And even if you can only help one person in this world to pull them up out of the cracks of society and put them back where they should be and elevate them up to where they believe in themselves and can teach that to others, that's what this is all about. This Knights of the Round Table, you know, to some people, I'm standing on a soapbox or preaching to the choir, but my God, if I don't speak the words that are on my mind and I don't take the time to talk the words of wisdom and nobody hears what I have to say, I may as well be complicit in that baby being in the shape that baby's in. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. And, you know, we can point to another incident that proves your point. We watched the protest against the immigration ban that was put out, and the people were out there and they were protesting and they were saying, you know, let these people in. And there was a gentleman who had gone up to each one of those protesters and asked them. He told them, I'm doing a petition or whatever, and I would like to be able to give these people a place to stay. So what we're trying to do is get people like you who want them to come into the country. We want you to offer them a bed, your couch. They can lay a pallet on the floor just so that they can have food, water, and a place to sleep. And every one of these protesters who were saying let them in all of them said the same, oh, I can't, I couldn't do that. Oh, I live by myself. Oh, I couldn't, my husband wouldn't let it. Every one of them said no. This is the disconnect, that we are more than willing, you know, these people are more than willing to stand up and complain about what they feel is wrong, but they're not willing to be the solution. And that's where our issues are coming today. Nobody's willing to be the solution. And we are the solution. We're the only solution to what is going on today, the people themselves, and reaching out toward each other. It doesn't matter how you feel on immigration. That's not the point of this. The point is that if you stand up for someone and you say, you know, this is wrong, we have to do something. We can't just say, oh, that's so sad, and turn our backs and walk away. We have to do what we can. And when it comes to us, then we have to stand in the conviction that we said that we believed in. We can't just say, well, those are good words that I spoke and I meant them, but I can't actually do what I said.
So essentially what you just said is if you decide to go get a bucket of water for somebody that's thirsty and you carry it half the distance and then set it down and expect somebody else to finish out that journey, it's not going to happen. And that's essentially what's going on. You know, if you pick that bucket up, go the distance, carry it all the way, follow through, and finish out what you started. That's what that lady in that picture did for that baby, and that baby's still alive today. And you know, if you've seen the picture, I don't know how your heart couldn't be touched by looking at that picture. To see that boy go from that condition to that condition, where now he's in a nice little red jumpsuit clothes with his little backpack on, and he's got some meat on his bones, and he looks happy and content. Isn't that the miracle right there?
Yeah. And, you know, I'll tell you a story, Shaz, if it's okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
I grew up in a family that believed in reaching out to people. We were very poor. We lived, well, poor by society standards. We didn't have money. We lived off the land. We lived on the food that wild foods that we caught. And lived in the slums. My dad and my mom separated when I was very young. So my dad, he lived elsewhere. He had a body shop, and every once in a while, I would go there, you know, and I would stay with him for a couple of weeks, and he would see people, homeless people, walking up and down the road, and he would tell me, Patty, go across the road and ask that person if they're hungry. And if they are, you tell them to come over here. And so I would go and I would say, look, my dad would like to know if you'd like something to eat. You can come over here and we'll give you something to eat. How many times I did that as a child, I can't even tell you. But when I would bring them over there, and my dad always had a pot of something cooking at the shop, you know, turtle stew, boiled crabs, oysters. I mean, you know, we lived off the sea, off the Gulf, and these people would come, homeless people would come, and they would sit and they would eat with us, and my dad would treat them just like they were the bestest friend he ever had. He would laugh with them, he would joke with them, and we'd always ask him, can you tell us your story? And my dad would wind up putting them to work, finding them a place to live, and they would get back on their feet. There was one time when we woke up one morning when we went to the shop, and in one of the old abandoned cars, there was a man and his four-year-old daughter. And they had traveled from Texas in the rain. Winters in Louisiana are very cold and damp and rainy, and they had been traveling all night. He was so afraid when my dad found him that my dad was going to call the police and have him taken away. And he begged my dad, you know, please, please, just take care of my daughter. Please, I'll leave. Just take care of my daughter. Well, they wound up moving in with us, you know. And within 6 months, the man was able to get his own place and support his daughter. And they became part of our family, just like they were a relative. We would go see them. On holidays, they would come out. We would go to Grand Isle with them and spend time. This is the things that happen when I was a child, these are the things that need to happen. We have to be able to reach out to people when we see them. I can't pass a person. You know, you go down the road and you see these signs, "We'll work for food." People will tell you all the time, "Don't give them any money. They're just going to go buy alcohol." You know, I will go buy them food. I will give them whatever money. Me and Mark, when we used to live in Texas, we'd go and they'd be on the corners all the time. We would stop, give them money. It's not up to me to determine what they do with what I give them. It's up to me to make sure that I do the right thing. And this is the way that we need to think, but we've forgotten this. We've forgotten that we're all part of one big family, you know? If we could just bring that back, if we could just make people see that we are the things that make each other powerful. We are the people who give reason to get up in the morning for everybody else. We have that power. We have the power for people to feel empowered about themselves. But if we ignore them, if we walk away from them, then we more or less tell them, "You are worthless. You're not worth the time." You know, and this is psychological, mental damage that we do to each other.
Yeah, I had a similar situation years ago that was so heart-wrenching that I literally got on a radio show out here, local radio station, and told everybody about it because it just affected me in such a deep manner. I was driving a glass truck, and I pulled up to this stop sign, and there was this girl there. And she was telling me she was hungry, and she was offering me sex for food. And, man, my heart just sunk. I mean, like, first off, I felt so terrible for her that she would be in that position to do, you know, to say what she said to me, right? To a total stranger. And at the time, I didn't have no money on me, right? And so I told her, I said, "You wait right here. I will be right back, all right?" And I went down to my boss, and I told my boss, I said, "Look, I need to borrow some money." I said, $5 or $10, whatever you can spare. I'll explain it later. I'll give it back to you later. Well, he wasn't having no part of giving it to me without an explanation, and I told him and everybody who was standing around that this was what was going on, and I want to go to buy her some food, take it to her, and at least do that for her, right? And they're all like, "Well, you know, she's just going to buy drugs if you give her money or anything like that, or she's just taking advantage of you and all that." But in my mind, all I could see was this young lady that literally had to lower herself down to a standard just to get something to eat, and it tore a hole in my soul like you wouldn't believe. And so when I called in that radio show, I nearly cried like a baby as I'm trying to explain to people, we can't let this happen, man. We can't let young girls belittle themselves just in order to be able to survive in our society. This is not the world that I want to be part of. And so I got the money from my boss, and I went to the nearest restaurant, and I bought her some decent food and soda and all that kind of stuff. And I went there, and I not only gave her the food, but I gave her the change. And I told her, I said, "You know, I'm not in a position to help you out any more than what I can right at this moment. But please, go find somebody that, you know, go to a church and talk to them or whatever, and find you a place to not put yourself in this position, because this isn't the kind of world where you want to take those type of chances." Now, I hope that my words resonated, and I hope that she took my advice. I don't know. I mean, I never saw the lady again, but, man, if we live in a world that is so blessed as what we've got, all these resources out here, and somebody, you know, some young lady has to put herself in that position just in order to be able to have a meal, that's a crying shame. You see what I'm saying? It's sad.
Yes, I totally agree.
It's sad in my heart. Because
yeah,
that could have been my daughter out there on the road, you know?
And well, you know, the fault is never in, you know, people say, "Well, you don't know, they're just going to waste your money. You don't know, they you might take them in their home, they might steal from you." You know, here's the way I look at it. If I don't do what is right, then it doesn't matter what they do. I was in the wrong. It is never wrong to do the right thing. Sometimes you do get burnt.
Yeah.
But that's not your fault. That's not on you. And if you don't do the right thing, it's always on you.
Well, We're coming down to the last portion of the show, but that story that I mentioned earlier in the show about finding that homeless guy giving him my last $10, and you know, I tried to drive past him the second time, all right, and I sat there and I prayed to my God. I said, "Look, please send that man a blessing." And I got not more than a quarter mile down the road, and I, whether it be from divine intervention or my own mind or my own heart or whatever, I kept hearing the words that you are the blessing. And so I did a U-turn out there, and I'm praying to my God again. I said, "Look, God, I'm about to give this man my last $10. Can you at least make sure I make it home, you know, because I don't want to run out of gas or whatever." And so I went down there and gave my man, gave that man that $10, and I told him, he thanked me and everything, and I told him, I said, "Brother, just get yourself some food and take care of yourself, you know. I can't bring every homeless person home with me, but if I'm out there and I have an opportunity and some money in my pocket, you know, I'm sitting in a really nice looking car. I only have $10 in my pocket, but if that's all I got, I'm not afraid to give it." I was blessed so many times that same day after that for that one blessing that I put off on somebody else. And that's what I was talking about when I made that little phrase inside the chat room. I said, "My only hope and simple expectation for an act of kindness is that you pass it on with love if you're able."
Hmm. What comes around goes around, guys. And it's so true in our lives. You know, I had an example of that about 4 months ago where some friends of mine were homeless, and they had no money, they had no food. I had very, very little money at that time, but I went into Walmart and I sent them some money, and it really kind of left me in a bind. I didn't want to do it, but I just felt compelled to go and give these guys some money, because they were worse off than I was at that particular point. But I walked out of Walmart, and a gentleman who I placed a job for a year before, when I got in my truck, my phone rang. "Hey, this is Greg Palmer. Remember you measured up my house a year ago. We'd like to go ahead with it today, right away, as soon as you can." So that turned out to be a $2,000 job. Now, whether it was coincidence or not, but right after I came out of Walmart, after sending out this money that I couldn't really afford to send out, I got this phone call. And 2 days later, I was doing this great big job. Took care of all my problems. Well, that's a blessing. And when you do that for people, it comes back on you. And it might seem insignificant. Little things that you do might seem insignificant to people and to yourself, but they are just a tiny little ripple in a big pond. And that ripple will grow.
It's so true.
And you know what, Patty? I you know, when I went into Walmart, I almost didn't do this. Because I only had like maybe, I think I had about $300 to my name at the time. And I went in and sent $100 US to some people down in the States. You know who I'm talking about. They were living in their car at that time, and they had nothing. They were starving. And I sent this money. Well, it wasn't 2 minutes, I was back in my truck, and I got this phone call. So whether it was coincidence or not, I don't know, but I went and did this, and all of a sudden I was blessed. So,
well, I think that's the way that it works. You know, folks, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. It's time for us to go around the table and let everybody have their last word. I just want to point out to everybody before we roll up out of here is that we got our work cut out for us in this world. It's agreeable to every party involved listening to what we've been talking about, but it's not beyond hope. Even if the average Joe just somehow manages to patch each other up and prop each other up and hold each other together till we get to the end of this journey that we're on, I think in the long run we'll all benefit. You know, it's never going to be an easy path. Nobody said life was easy, but my God, without you guys out there and without my friends and all the Knights of the Round Table, I'd probably go insane. So, who wants to go first?
Patty.
Patty?
I will.
Patty, you're first.
First, Shaz, thank you so much for I know I came in late, but at least I made it. I love sitting on your round tables. And I guess if I could say one thing that I would like to leave your listeners with, it's that, you know, we have to maybe look at life in a different way. Instead of wondering What's that person up to? What's that person doing? What is that person going to take from me? Maybe instead we should be always thinking, what can I do for that person? It's never wrong to do the right thing. I say that a lot, but it's because it's true. Anything that we do in a positive manner travels on forward in a positive manner. Our Creator gave us the ability to come together, to speak, to work together, to love together. If we ignore these gifts that the Creator gave us, then we ignore the Creator, and we can't do that. We have to honor our life. We have to honor the gift that we have from Creator. And in order to do that, then we have to honor all life. All life is sacred, every bit of it, from the blade of grass to the greatest of those that walk this earth. We have to honor that life. That life is our life. We have to quit looking at each other like they're the problem. There are no problems except for the ones that we create ourselves. And if we can decide today that we will no longer look for a problem in our neighbor, that we will from now on look at our neighbor as our brother, as our sister, as our help meet, as our community, as our family, then we will change things. We will. We just have to open up our hearts and trust in ourselves and that we can do the right thing. That's all that matters. If we all did the right thing, then the right thing would be done all the time.
Well said. What about you, Bill? You got some words of wisdom you want to share before we're out of here?
Yeah, I can keep it simple. You should. You can. It is your responsibility to make a difference in somebody else's life today, tomorrow, every day. If it needs to be, go to a nursing home, what we call the poor house, and take a look around, see what you can do. I go every day to one of five nursing homes to help out during lunch. And it's so saddening when I sit there and realize these people sit there all month waiting for their children or their relatives or someone to show up that can show them the respect that they need, that they have earned. And listen to their stories. Listen to what their history is. Let them tell you what is wrong back then that should be changed today. You make the difference. You. Okay?
You're right, Billy, and that was powerful. Folks, you know, the folks that he's talking about are the folks that built the world that we live in. Whatever mistakes they may have made, they learned from those, and they because of all the sacrifices of those who came before us, we're able to enjoy whatever it is that we enjoy in our life. I keep saying that we are the founding fathers, the mothers, the sisters, the brothers, the aunts and uncles of our children and our children's children's future. What we do and say today will definitely define the world that they live in tomorrow. So with that said, Barry, you got any words of wisdom?
Well, you know what, one of the things that I've been really studying lately is North American Native culture and how they lived hundreds of years ago, how they interact in their community, how sure they had little wars amongst each other and there was always a little bit of conflict here and there, but, you know, the bottom line is that the society supported itself. They lived within the boundaries of looking after the planet. Everything that they did was focused around taking care of what was providing them with their essentials in life. Their attitude was completely different. It was a great culture. And when I look at the genocide given to the North American people, where millions of them were literally slaughtered for just being here, for being on their land, they were slaughtered. We as a society, we have found ourselves so disconnected with what's important in life. And that is the future of our children and the future of this planet. Being able to give them what we've enjoyed in our lives. And right now, I can't look in the mirror and say my children are going to enjoy the same things that I did. And that's what I try and make changes every day to show people there is a way to change the whole system. And it has to come from within. It has to come from, like I said, grassroots movements We really are a society, we're a greed-driven society, and that's been indoctrinated into us since we were children, that we have to have this, we have to have that, you gotta go buy a new car, you gotta have a nice house, you gotta go to school, you gotta go to college, get an education, blah, blah, blah. Well, that is so far from the truth. We really have to get back to grassroots, what we really are as human beings, what really is important. One of the most powerful things that I find in my life now is just smiling and saying hi to total strangers. A total stranger. You know, that person could be having the worst day in their life, and you simply, by smiling and saying hello to them, can change their whole perspective on their day. I find that is one of the most powerful things you can do. It's just really openly show love for your fellow human beings. So I do. I love everybody on this planet. And I don't like what I see coming for the human race. So it's our turn right now to stand up and really make a difference, guys.
Amen, brother. And wouldn't it be wonderful to literally follow a smile from your face to see how far it travels? We got a work cut out for us, but we've been given something so amazing, a gift so beyond all amazement. If you really sit back and look at what's been offered to us, we can either build this world up or we can tear it down. That was the free will that was given to us. We can raise each other up to the highest depths of heaven or the lowest depths of hell in the greatest, darkest abyss. My heart says we got to go up. That's what the Knights of the Round Table is about. My heart.
The tongue is mightier than the sword, guys. Always remember that your spoken words have an incredible impact on people. They can have a negative effect, but can also have a positive effect.
Yep. So like Barry said, smile. Like Patty and Billy said, take care of each other out there. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. If you like what you heard here, please pass this on. Let the people out there know that there's other people talking the way that they feel. Let them know that we're working on solutions, and there's a microphone here for them to come and share their heart with the world and to tell everybody that it's not as bad. It could get a heck of a lot worse, and some folks in this world are worse off, but we still have the opportunity to help them out, help the homeless folks out. We're living in the year 2017. There shouldn't be no people starving in this world. There shouldn't be no people homeless. If you want to have a home and food and all that, we got the resources to make it happen. But it ain't going to come from any government or any one world religion or any one world ideology. It's going to come from a one world idea that we're all brothers and sisters and that we're all connected with our nature and our creator and ourselves and each other. That's how we fix it, folks. That is the solution. You are the solution. You've been listening to Knights of the Round Table. Peace and love to everybody.
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of
more... Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur.
That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away!
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system!
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot! Camelot! Camelot!
It's only a model.
Shh! Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, we dance whenever able. We do routines to call the scenes, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rise to our quite something able. We're off the mad in Camelot, we sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Serve the turbo and the knights of the round table.